back.
Your favorite podcast, The End.
By the time this goes live, I'll be in sunny California living my life.
Smell you later, oh edition.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay. I know this comes out on Tuesday, and I know they've been teasing it, but like, since I missed Don't Break the Embargo, I'm probably going to have to bleep this. Did you see that is putting out in an EDP?
I don't think I did.
They're teasing it. I won.
I do think that was their splashiest scent in a way. Maybe, well, I mean, I feel like Braless was also really popular.
I think might be too new to really call it, but depending.
Yeah.
But I think it was Braless, but she's hot on her heels. Anyway, I'm excited. If I said that, no, I didn't.
I think they would actually appreciate you mentioning it.
TBH.
Yeah.
I don't know how relevant this is. I don't even want to put this on the podcast. I just want to tell you.
Okay.
but
it's just us.
It's just us girls here.
Yeah.
So yep. I got the new Estee Lauder Glimmer.
Okay. This is like a new fragrance.
It's a new franchise. Yes.
I remember seeing, I think, what's her face? Is it Hailee Steinfeld, who's the first?
I guess everyone famous was busy.
Yeah. I got the press release. I read the notes and I was like, that sounds nice. Sure.
It is nice.
Yeah.
They are billing it as an amber floral gourmand. And I'm sort of like, at a certain point, we got to pick something here, girls. Yeah.
Pick a bucket.
And maybe this didn't come straight from them. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe it came from the first receivers of the fragrance. I don't know. I've been seeing a lot of people calling this a gourmand. And I know that whatever Estee Lauder calls a gourmand is not going to be like a Tynan gourmand. You know, it's not going to be like Kayali, Pink Cupcake, whatever. But I had them send it out of morbid curiosity because, you know, once Estee does one of these scents, they do 10 more in the next 10 years. And I thought the name was cute. I love the bottle. But Estee bringing in anything gourmand is a little curious to me. So I said, what's this about? And first of all, there are three perfumers attached to this. So I said,
wow.
How'd that happen? The notes are raspberry mousse accord, orange flower, and mandarin oil at the top. The middle is macaron rose accord, rose, vanilla bean, and cashmere on. And the base is shimmering patchouli, amber embrace accord, sandalwood, tonka bean, and cedarwood.
It sounds like a French pastry.
Yeah, a lot happening. A lot of rose happening. Some gourmand energy, the mousse accord, the macaron, whatever. This, like, it's...
Glimmer. Is it giving glimmer?
I guess.
Sure.
Let me say this. It's really pretty. It's a crowd pleaser, a certain type of crowd, but it feels to me like this was something else and then had to get retrofit into some sort of gourmand idea. Because to me, Estee would never do a gourmand of any sort.
I mean, they would now. They're hurting for money.
Well, they would now because brands like the Estees and the L'Oreals of the world are 3 years late to every trend. So it's like, I'm sure it feels to me like this was something else. And they're like, oh, fuck, we got to make it sweet. Let's throw another note and another perfumer in there to make it happen. I guess what I'm trying to say, not to start the episode on a bitch ass note, is like, this is really, it's a really great fragrance. It's just like, there's too much happening here. There's like too many notes, too many ideas, too many perfumers, if you ask me. It's, if I would describe this, walk with me. If Libra is the golden amber floral, this is her sister, who is a green, juicy amber floral. I mean, to me, it's a very sweet floral. It's very green, very fresh. It's very pretty. I just, again, I think they like put it in a dress that didn't fit and it looks like shit, you know, like it's like they dressed it up wrong. I went into it with this idea, this suspicious idea of what we were going to find. And I don't know. I mean, I have my own feelings about about the Estee Lauder of it all, but I'm just sort of like, as RuPaul said, edit, you know, like I wish you could smell this because I do think it's sort of undeniably pretty, you know, it's safe, it's nice, but I'm like, I don't think we had to do all that to get here, you know?
Yeah.
To me. I'm going to cut all that out.
I do wonder, because I feel like the people who shop for Estee Lauder fragrances are department store goers, you know? Yeah. This is still people who have a certain expectation of just like pretty.
And the thing is, they're going to be really happy with it. The Estee girl, woman, man is going to love this. I'm just sort of like, why are we doing all this? But like people who listen to this show, I feel like by and large don't shop at department stores. They are worshiping the devil. Yeah. But so I guess like big picture, the audience is going to gag. But I'm just sort of like, I don't know. I think we're tripping over our dicks trying to make this thing relevant. But I just like, call it what it is, girl. It's a fresh amber floral. It's fine. We're all going to be fine.
I remember Business of Fashion loves to report when like Estee Lauder's down. Like they love, you know, kicking it all worlds. They love kicking Estee Lauder worlds down. I mean,
like there's not really an opposite headline to report in the last 10 years.
I know. But like, I just remember like everything kind of coming back. They're like, Estee is betting on big fragrance. Like Estee's betting everything on fragrance. And so that's why seeing this, I'm kind of like, they really just needed a crowd pleaser. They just needed a crowd pleaser.
Yeah. It's a very, let me not have worked at like Estee for 3 years and like call myself the expert. I'm not. I'm a know-it-all. But it's just one of those, Estee's very about having like too many ideas in the room. You know, it, like things take a long time to get to market as they all do with brands like this, companies like that. Too many ideas. No one can agree. They want everything to be everything to everyone. And then you get something like this, which I guess at the end of the, you know, no one's like combing over the fucking marketing like I am. So it's I'm sure someone saw a new Estee perfume with a cute name and a great bottle and they went out to smell it and they loved it. And that's going to be their new signature scent. And I celebrate them. You know what I mean?
I mean, okay, speaking of crowd pleasers, I do want to smell the newest Prada Paradox flanker with Zendaya. It's like the purple. What is it like?
It's got a kooky name.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, okay, so we are going with kind of like ingredient names now as we flanker the shit out of this fragrance.
Put some respect on her name. No, it's Paradox. No, it's not. It's Prada Paradox Sweet Chemistry.
Okay, so it's the Wisteria Collection, which is like a limited edition purple themed drop from Prada Beauty. Okay. So I'm not completely unhinged.
The Prada team loves us. One of the last ones that does. Okay, so if they want to send them purple blushes and this new Paradox flanker, we'd be happy to apply them to our bodies and faces.
I'm going
to
be needing that stupid pH shifting lilac lip.
Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay, speaking of purple things, I smell like Bovulgari.
Would you say the goddamn brand name? People are not going to understand.
I love saying, I said Bovulgari.
It's Bulgari. This is a non-visual medium.
Like, if people are aware of the SNL skit, it's Bulgari. Anyway, Bulgari Omnia Amethyst. Is that new? This is new. And what's interesting is that it's part of their Omnia collection where like all the bottles kind of look like two interlocking circles in different colors. Ew. But I just looked it up and Google seems to think that this is an older scent from 2006. So maybe they're bringing it back. But no. I don't know
how
what's going on.
How did this come to be in your possession?
A press release.
So.
Which.
It is.
I'm trying to look it up and it's not in my inbox. So I can't. I don't know what happened to it.
I don't know how you got
that. I was like, okay, I guess I'll just go to the website. Well, what's weird is like Kara texted me and she's like, have you heard of this scent? Or like, did you get emailed about this scent? And I was like, oh yeah. And I kind of ignored it. I was like, whatever. And then she's like, oh, it sounded nice. So I called it in. And then she's like, oh my God, it smells really nice. And this was like 2 weeks ago. And then it just randomly showed up at my door this week. So I was like, oh, so, they must have said, oops, forgot about her, and like sent out my package.
So
like, oh,
regardless of it being, it is newness of some sort. Okay.
Yeah.
Cute.
It is. It's not what I thought it would be in a nice way. Okay. And my original hook is that it called out iris. So I was like, obviously like, yes, please. Yeah. They call it a woody aromatic, which I don't know. I think that's a little misleading because there is like there's quite a bit of floral in there. It's kind of like a watery iris. Oh. It's like a watery green iris to me. Yes, there is some musky woody stuff going on in the dry down, but it's surprisingly very light. I think I expect these designer scents to smell like a mall, you know? So I'm always like surprised when I'm like, oh, it's like it's very light, but it's still very complex.
Bulgari does really beautiful work though for a designer.
Yeah, I have to acquaint myself with a lot more of their scents. I know you have, but I missed out on the candy ones.
The bonbons. Their premiere line, is ungodly expensive, but yeah. Ooh, man, if those really are going to be $500, those are worth it. They are so gorgeous. But even their, forgive me, God, but their baseline men's scents are great. They're really, really great. Bulgari does some really nice stuff.
Yeah, I've just like, I don't know why, I just skipped them. Generally speaking, if I ever were to be a snob, it would certainly be for like a mainstream luxury brand. I'm just like, I know what you guys do. So like, sure. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. So, you mean like if you're going to turn your nose up at something, it'll be, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. Generally speaking, it's usually just like nice and boring. And I'm like, okay. But this was surprising in how I've not smelled something like this before.
How nice.
Yeah, which is nice. It's really pretty. It is a little bit of like a Meet the Mother scent, a little bit. But
I love this being your new thing, Meet the Mother scent.
I know.
My God.
Moms love me.
Oh my God, my entire bedroom smells like Glimmer now. That really came back to bite.
Oh no. Dare I? Well, I guess that is what you smell like now. But Tynan, what did you intend to smell like today?
What I smell like, you're going to be so sick of me. I smell like the new Fleur Vanilla Canyon.
Oh no.
Let me speak. Let me speak on it. Okay? Listen, I know that we're at peak vanilla saturation, especially from the Ellis Brooklands, who we love, the Fleur, yeah, who we love, whatever. And I think it's really just like vanilla being in the name, that it's getting a little potentially tiresome to some. Not me, but some.
Okay.
Which I hear and I understand. I saw this and I called it in for obvious reasons. I have to say, I put this on yesterday and was like, oh, holy shit. This is, I'm telling you, really good. Of all of the vanillas that we've gotten thus far this year, this is really, really fucking good. My expectation, which is, this is a whole other diatribe that I will not go down, but like, you know, what you expect off of the name is one way to judge a perfume. I don't think it's the correct way. But Canyon gives me desert, gives me rocks, whatever those smell like. It gives me woods. Yeah, yeah. But I read the notes. So no, I smelled it and I was gagged. It's beautiful. It's like, I guess you can tell it's a vanilla, but I was like, what am I getting? Is it like, it's not leather, it's not incense, but it's deep, it's rich. And so the top notes are velvet plum and tonka beans. The heart are jasmine petals and wild honey. The base is Madagascar vanilla, patchouli, and oak wood. And what I'm getting from it, that like mysterious situation, was the wild honey. But it's not honey like sticky, like confectionery. It's like that really earthy honey that I'm told exists. and then the plum. So it's like this really, really deeply earthy, sweet honey vanilla wrapped in, and not even a sweet plum, not even like a really stone fruit plum. It's like a really dark, deep, earthy, nectary, almost like the plum skin. I don't know. It's like, you know how you like when you bite into a plum and the meat is sweet, but the skin is tart and then it sort of balances for a minute. It's like that, but it's all that to say, it's like not super sweet. It's a really smooth, round, deep vanilla. This is really good. I mean, I like Fleur.
Well, it's about time.
Stop. God. I like Fleur. You know, they are playing the Mass Sephora game. That's fine. This is really, really good. Everyone, go out and smell Vanilla Canyon.
Why did I think it was called Laurel Canyon? But I think it's based on Laurel Canyon, but it's vanilla.
I would say...
I think they just hit their stride with vanilla, and now they're like, all right, it's vanilla forever.
I think Laurel Canyon would be a, frankly, cooler name, but Laurel Canyon takes me to Way.
I think Way actually has a Laurel Canyon.
I mean, not that Way owns Los Angeles, but you know what I mean.
Maybe they do.
Maybe they do. Love it.
Love it.
We
love an attainable pleasure.
An attainable pleasure, don't we?
Speaking of,
what a good transition. Let me let you cook.
Speaking of attainable pleasures, I feel like I have not been super aware of it. Well, I mean, I've been like very passively aware of Athena Club for a while. Like they do body care, they do deodorant, they do shaving stuff. And it was only until recently that I was like, wait, they do scents, and the scents are good. They were introduced to me by our guest today, Emily Ferber, who is the SVP of marketing at Athena Club. But Emily's been in the beauty editorial game and the industry as long as we have. She was one of the founding editors at Into the Gloss and Glossier. So if you're not aware of her, you're definitely aware of those brands. We had a meeting a couple of weeks ago. It was honestly just like a catch up. And then when she was explaining to me everything going on with Athena Club, I was like, wait, these are really good. Mm-hmm. That was when she introduced me to Banana mm-hmm. Milk. And I was like, holy shit, this is so good. I need them all.
Yeah. I do want to, you said they have fragrances. Yes, but they are, if you're unfamiliar, they are a body mm-hmm. collection that is yes. fragranced. I think it's really interesting because they call mm-hmm. themselves, well, let me not speak for them. Their bio on Instagram, my one source of news, okay. is fragrance made to wear everywhere, build your scent wardrobe. So they talk about mm-hmm. themselves as a fragrance brand, but it's all through body, which I think is interesting. Mm, but I think
that is interesting.
They can stand 10 toes down on that because, and yeah. I'm new to Athena Club. I was always trying to get familiar, but I sort of knew that one of us would come around to the other at some point, and here we are.
Yeah.
They generously sent me a big box of product, and their scents are... I say as much on the show, but you know, some are more straightforward. Some are really surprisingly complex for
yeah.
the format and where you find them. You know,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you just don't put super complex body products in Target because of 1,000 reasons, but they have, and they're gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, they're legitimately very good, and they wear like fine fragrances. I think if I blind smelled any of these, I would have assumed that they were.
Yeah.
Or were some sort of designery niche fragrance house.
Yes.
You know,
can I tell you something?
What?
I don't need to tell you this on the show, but I'm not going to see you for a year or so. You know that I don't like scented deodorants. It's just like not my ministry. But
yeah,
they sent me Salted Sunset, I believe it's called,
mm-hmm.
in the deodorant form. And I don't know what got into me. On Saturday, I was wearing that banana body balm that I'm obsessed with. And then
mm-hmm.
I put Ellis Brooklyn Sunfruit over it because they sort of share the same fruity nectary vibe. And then I was like, fuck it, let's just do this. And so I used Salted Sunset. And if I'm remembering correctly,
it's like caramel, coconut milk, pistachio, and cherry.
Exactly. I don't even think cherry, actually. I just think it's coconut. Oh, look who's wrong. The top notes, coconut milk, cherry, pistachio, middle, salted yeah. caramel, almond, and cedarwood, base, vanilla, sandalwood, and musk. One, I just like love the scent. It's a beautiful, not salty by any stretch, but there is
yeah.
a balanced sweetness that would bring you to a salted, not even caramel, but it is the stickiness of caramel. And
yeah, it's a salted solar,
yeah,
I feel.
Yeah, it's yeah. gorgeous.
Yeah.
And that shit, I think, kicked more than the fine fragrance I was wearing.
Yo, sometimes scented body yeah. shit, like, goes. Crazy.
And I love everything I've smelled.
Yeah. No, they're all really good. I have 5 scents from them. And they're all, it's funny, they're all really different. But at the same time, they all have their own, like, they feel correct in their world
yeah,
together.
Yeah.
You know, they feel correct as a group.
Right. They don't feel like other versions of each other.
No, definitely not. And there's 8 scents total, so there's like a lot to explore. And like, let me just get really acquainted with like the ones I have first before I go crazy. Yeah. But it's legitimately very good. And then I was like, wait, why am I missing out on this? And then also like, Emily's a friend. So I was like, wait, like we should just have her on the podcast, obviously.
And here we are.
Hi again, Emily Ferber. Thrilled to be on Smileater. And I am the SVP of Marketing at Athena Club. We're a body care brand that really is focused on fragrance and bringing sort of that luxury touch, both from a fragrance formula and engineering perspective, into the daily mundane routines of everybody and bringing sort of that sparkle into your quieter moments. And fragrance has always been a really big part of what we do. We sort of started really strongly in grooming. And we've had like really great smelling grooming essentials, but we've since expanded into more of the traditional fragrance space. And we're having a really good time being in it with Scentalk and this community. Like we feel like really welcomed by the community. And we're having a really good time with everybody. So yeah, just happy to be here.
Nice.
And Emily, what do you smell like today?
Great question. I don't smell like Athena Club, which I probably should have done. But I'm having a really nice time with Sundazed by Byredo, I don't know if it's available anymore.
Was that a limited edition release? I think it was.
Yeah. So, and I think I just found out they released it at Sundays, and then I think they re-released it with Travis Scott, which, like, I literally didn't know until today. Okay. But I've been playing around with it. I can bring this back to Athena Club. Watch me do it.
You don't have to. It's fine. They're not listening.
It's my job. So when I first got it, like, it's got a strong neroli summery heart, which is something that I didn't love initially, and I grew to love over, you know, the course of a couple of years. But it has the sweetness, and I think I didn't really understand the sweetness initially when I got it. And so I was sort of like, oh, like, what's going on? It doesn't smell like I expected it to smell. I thought it was going to smell beachier. It's called Sundays. But through the work that I've been doing with Athena Club and really sort of rounding out my nose and, like, learning more scents, particularly on the sweeter, more gourmand side of the world, I can now recognize the really strong cotton candy note that is in it. And so now I'm like, oh, like, I'm having this really great time with the sort of this, like, sugar spun world. At Athena Club, we just launched and sort of immediately sold out of a scent called Pink Marshmallow, which also has the sugar spun cotton candy, fresh marshmallow fluffiness, pinkness to it. So I've been exploring that side of the fragrance wheel.
Ooh.
That sounds awesome. I wish I would have smelled Sundays, because I love a cotton candy note, especially when it's within something and not out front, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a combination that I would have put together. And I don't know how they're achieving it. I think there's, if you look at the scent pyramid, they're probably doing it with some lemon and, like, stuff in there that's not actually cotton candy.
Yeah.
But the world is craving cotton candy.
I agree. Scents.
Yes. Gourmands are in their moment. And I don't think it's slowing down.
No. I think that there was only so much vanilla we could do.
Yeah.
Disagree.
Like, what else you got? What else you got in the pantry?
But I think everything like that is just a derivative of vanilla. Like, vanilla of another name. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
I yes and no, of course. It's all a form of vanilla.
Yeah.
You know?
That's exactly what I mean, is, like, I think vanilla, it's not surprising to me that we have been living in a vanilla-scented world. And honestly, I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah.
And we've, you know, at Athena Club, we've had a lot of fun with vanilla, a lot of trials and tribulations with vanilla, actually. But at a certain point, you're like, particularly, like, the scent community, which is just so ravenous for newness and experimentation. It's not surprising to me that marshmallow is the thing now, and that cotton candy is next. It's like concepts of sweetness.
Yeah. It's so funny. As you were explaining Sundays, I was like, why does that sound so familiar? And then I remembered when Sundays launched, it was maybe like 2018, I think. And I was still at Condé Nast. And I remember that there was a bottle of it on a print editor's desk at Allure to be photographed for some issue. And then that was also a day that Condé Nast had done a bunch of layoffs. And an editor from an unnamed publication just swiped it off her desk.
Oh, my God.
And then the Byredo PR was like, that was our only press bottle. You have to give it back.
Oh, shit.
We found out who it was because there's cameras in the office, obviously. And I think it was really awkward to be like, hey, so can you, like, give this back? Like, sorry you were laid off.
That's wild.
I would have done the same thing.
I know.
Yeah, absolutely.
On that too, I was just like, I don't even blame her.
No.
I would do the same thing.
No.
Yeah.
I would loot.
There have been moments in the editorial portion of my career.
Yeah.
Where, you know, someone's not coming back and they got, like, a six stash of Chanel under the desk. And you're just kind of, like, biding your time. Like, when does this become, like,
fair game?
Open domain.
Right.
Chanel?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, okay, for the uninitiated, Emily Ferber has been in the beauty game just as long as we have. I mean, like,
I think you guys might have. Tynan, I think you supersede me.
Hey.
You were, like, already quite legendary by the time
Oh, that's
I
so sweet.
The space.
That's so sweet. She said, "You're an old bitch. Look at that." No.
Well, like the beauty blog sphere in the mid-2010s was considerably smaller than it is now.
Oh, absolutely. It was absolutely.
A lot smaller. Absolutely. So like we all were aware of each other. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you worked at Into the Gloss and Glossier, which like, as we all know, was super definitive of the mid-2010s, which I'm sure like many, many listeners will have very nosy questions about. But can you tell us how you found your way into beauty?
I found my way into beauty sort of unexpectedly. I did not have experience in beauty before I landed at Into the Gloss. I landed at Into the Gloss mostly because I was a huge fan of Into the Gloss. Mm-hmm. But Into the Gloss at that time was so fashion adjacent.
Yeah.
And that's what really stood out about it to me. And I learned so much about what a career in that world would look like through Into the Gloss. So it really was such a Bible, even though like I had no money to buy any any of the things that were ever recommended. Like my extent, like I had a Benefit Boing concealer that someone had given me. And I was making my own sugar scrub because I didn't have any money. And so like that was my like experience with beauty. When I had heard through the grapevine that they were hiring, and I just email assaulted them. I was just like, hey, I heard you're hiring. What can we do about that?
And, what about me?
Yeah, exactly. And I started filing stories that like they didn't ask for. Like I like was interviewed and I thought they were taking their sweet time. And so I was just like, all right. You know, I'd wake up every morning. I'd check the site back when, you know, typing in a domain name.
Yeah. A homepage.
How we use the internet. And if I noticed that they hadn't published when I expected them to publish or they published fewer stories, I would send them a story.
That's like, so funny.
Here you go.
Yeah.
And they essentially said like, yeah, so you basically gave yourself the job. And I was like, great, it worked. And I joke now that like I'm the only one who got a job at Glossier by accident because they were working on Glossier, but it didn't come up in any of my conversations. And I was just so desperate to be in the editorial world and to write that it took me several days to get up the courage to be like, what's this G? Like, what's this bottle? Yeah. Like, why am I sitting next to Alexis Page? What's going on? And they were like, oh, did we not tell you? And I was like, you didn't. So that was a really, I mean, like, I look back on it fondly now, but it was a little disorienting at first because I was really hoping to be an editorial, not in the startup space, but I'm very, very grateful, obviously. And it was a lot of fun, but ran Into the Gloss for a number of years, switched into brand strategy and sort of found myself in the brand world, which is a lot of fun because we get to create, we get to like actually make things, which was not something that I ever understood how to do.
Yeah.
And it's really like gratifying to like hold your strategy in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I, one thing from Into the Gloss that I'll never want to give up is like the connection, like beauty and beauty products are so emotional. I mean, like I think any type of physical product can be emotional, but I think beauty is like inherently so, and has such this fandom and this relationship and like doing top shelves. You really, Top Shelf was the interview franchise that we did at Into the Gloss for those who don't know. Everybody has a beauty narrative. Everybody has a beauty story. And they'll say like, oh, I'm really low maintenance. Like, I don't really use anything. And then like you ask them a series of like good questions. And the next thing you know, you've been talking on the floor of their bathroom for an hour.
Yeah.
And I could not imagine a better training for then eventually sort of working in product and brand because like the products we make should be inherently emotional, right? Like they are, you're asking someone to like spend their hard earned money and like bring something that you built into their home and into their daily lives. Like it's a privilege.
Yeah.
So I like to think about building products and brands that way, which is why it's been so fun to be in Scent because like, I actually am curious to hear from you guys. Like, Scent has not been as on fire as it is in the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And I'm curious
I'm curious if you guys have a perspective as to why, but to me, it's like the most emotional of all of the beauty categories and allows people to really dream and express themselves and think expansively. So I'm curious why you think now is the time.
I mean, I think that's honestly a lot to do with it. We've been looking at this for years and years, and obviously the pandemic, huge reason why scent popped off, home scents especially. People wanted to basically inure themselves to the anxieties of the outside world. So they get a nice candle, they get nice smelling hand soap or reed diffusers and make a really cozy environment, which of course then extended to personal scents as you're going out in the world. And this whole being in contact again, I think, with the smells of others was so, I don't know, I guess enlivening. Because, to me, perfume has always been a thing. Whether people just, use bar soap or deodorant, whether they don't particularly get perfume, it's we all have a personal scent. And obviously, there's a humongous industry around it. Mm-hmm. But no one really talked about it until beauty itself kind of popped off. And I feel like fragrance is the one category that appeals to everybody. It's not, there's no age kind of demo really with it.
It always fits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it always fits. And it's always expressive, not really corrective.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something you wear to express by your choice, not to conceal.
I love that, Sable.
I think his fragrance has blown up too. It did start in the pandemic with the home scents and then the personal scents and then the we're back outside energy of I want to be seen, I want to be smelled.
Yeah.
And as everyone started talking about fragrance, perfume in general, big perfume has always been really heady and super gatekeepy and sort of holier than thou. And that sort of got broken down from the consumer first. We started talking to each other about what we actually liked about fragrance and how it actually smelled and what that actually meant. And then the mystique of it all sort of started to wane a bit for the better. And then I think brands started to realize, oh, if we talk to these people like actual people and instead of like deities about this mysterious world of perfume, we can sell some shit. But it's also, I think, for the better, because when you talk to someone like a human, then they can understand what is in something. And it, again, gets demystified. And, everyone might not know what neroli is, but they know that they like a scent with neroli because it is fresh. So I think the language also got more colloquial in a way that people felt more welcomed into it. And also, I've been harping on, we saw it happen with Neller in 2012. We saw it happen with Color Cosmetics in 2016. And then skincare right before and during the pandemic. And then, it was the last piece of beauty that had not been completely ridden to the wheels fell off. Absolutely. And now we're in there and now we're seeing it start to sort of go on the backside again. And at the same time, nail art is on the rise again. So it's that cycle is starting once again. But I think though, the good trends always leave the best of themselves behind. I like to look at it optimistically. So I think fragrance will now, it's not going to be as hot as it was five years from now, but I think everyone is going to feel less intimidated by the idea of a personal scent or a scented body wash, whatever it is. So I think it's all for the better, I hope.
I think TikTok, right? It's such a part of that humanness.
Yeah.
And talking about it in a real way.
Yeah.
Married with the romanticizing your life. Friend, which I think is still so present.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about scent, why would I not want it to start in the shower, right? I've gotten really into a dimly lit shower, and I'm how scented can I make this bathroom?
Yeah.
How can I scent the steam? Can I scent me?
Yeah.
And then can I use a fragrance lotion that's then going to hold on to whatever scent that I use after that? I think that there's a bit of a secret unspoken trend of using scent before bed.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of when I want it the most.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm in the dark and alone and sort of able to focus only on it.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I mean, I also have to think too, we just have so many more scents at accessible price points now. So it's if you build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. It's like that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
It's something that we thought about a lot when we launched at Athena Club, which was we're just really passionate about being able to offer people something at an accessible price point, like really respecting people's resources. And we think everybody sort of deserves that luxury. You could buy all eight for like less than many.
Yeah.
Many fragrances that I myself have bought. And the way that I'm starting to think about it was like, well, why only have one signature? Mm-hmm. Why not be someone different every day? Which I think ties back tied into your pandemic point, or Sable, maybe you made that point, which is that all of a sudden it's just like, you feel like you lost time and like, how are you reclaiming it? And I think in this sort of like rapid fire identity and expression, I don't want to wear the same thing every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to play.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's been like a really big departure from like the 21st century fragrance culture compared to the last century.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like Athena Club's been around for a while. Like I remember you mentioned it's like a shaving brand. I used to have the deodorant back in the day, and it was like period products. I believe. Yeah. And then suddenly I feel like this year I was like, wait, I'm seeing this in Target. I'm like, this is so cute. Mm-hmm. Like, what? And then I was like, wait, this is Athena Club, the deodorant people? What's going on? Like, was scent always a part of the plan?
So our wonderful co-founders, Charles and Masha, they're passionate about the personal care category, period. And their vision was really to say, like, what are these overlooked categories? And how can we bring a touch of elegance to them? How can we improve on them? And Masha in particular is a bit of a scent wonderkind in her own right. Like, it's just a personal passion of hers. And so, like, if you go back to our original, like, grooming products, our Cloud Shave Gel smells fabulous. Like, it's just, like, a really great smelling shave foam. And we had sort of those original deodorants. We retooled them and brought them into Target in 2025. And I think something that I notice is when brands look to expand into body, particularly on a Target or a Walmart shelf, all of a sudden there's this sort of deviation to the mean, or sort of like this loss of like individuality, uniqueness, a real collapsing of notes. And that's just not how we ever operated. All of our, like, we work with the best fragrance houses in the world. We work with a number of them. And all of our scents, even when we were just developing deodorant or just developing body wash, we've got built out top, middle, and base notes. Like, there's a lot going on. We do a lot of iteration. We've got hundreds of different iterations of everything. And I think it just over time kind of was like, this is something that we're really passionate about. And as a brand builder, I've just always said to my teams, like, if you're having fun, the customer is having fun. Mm-hmm. And
true.
Like, we're having a lot of fun. Our summer launches, Pink Marshmallow and Banana Sun Milk, were not planned at the beginning of this year. We were exploring a number of things, some just for fun, some for next year. And a number of scents, including these two, were just like, oh my gosh, these would be so fun for summer. Like, I want to wear these. And worked their way around the office, and everyone would like, you know, you spray it and everyone would ooh and ah. And that's always like sort of the best signal of like, when you are your customer. And delighting the internal staff also means delighting sort of everybody else in the Athena Club universe. And we were just like, how quickly can we get these to market?
Did you know that they were going to be like such a huge hit?
We were pretty confident in Pink Marshmallow generally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think Pink Marshmallow was just sort of a question of like, when are we going to bring this one to life? Banana Sun Milk, I feel like we were smelling it in like January, February. Mm-hmm. And Banana had not. It was just burgeoning.
Yeah.
And I don't think we knew everyone was going to run at the banana trend. I'm really glad that everybody held hands and we're like, we're doing banana now. But that one, we were really like, it felt like a little bit of a coin toss where we were like, this is really gonna go crazy viral, or people are gonna like scratch their heads and like not be ready for it. And I think that goes to show, like, as we're evolving, like our we're growing our community, and like we're like the scent community generally And I wonder if you guys feel this way. I feel like the scent community generally is rapidly expanding and getting much better at knowing what smells are. Like everybody is really invested. They're like, we're loving scent and our noses are getting better. We're getting better at this. We're blind smelling things. We're understanding what DNAs are. I've just been so impressed by the passion in this community and how many more people are like, that looks really fun. Like, that's going to become like a new hobby of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a lot of technicality in fragrance creation because it is, it's literally chemistry. So there's like so much terminology and names of ingredients that you could learn, or like accords that if anyone wanted to become a fragrance influencer now, there's just so much material to learn from.
But that's the thing that I struggle with. Even this thought of like getting, like, quote unquote, getting better, you know, I'm like, but what do you mean? Like, what from a, from a consumer and just personal position, what does expertise look like? Because if we're all experts, then none of us are experts. And that's also okay. But there's so much happening, I say, with a positive tone in my voice in the perfume community right now. I'm just sort of like, but are any of you enjoying any of this? You know, like, it's just like, sometimes I just go back to like, do you enjoy it? What? I don't care, like, if you can rattle off notes to me or not. Yeah. Like, that's cool. And that is part of it for me personally. It's like, I do like to know what's in it, but I'm not here to like do the national anthem of Francis Kirk de Jong while I'm like talking about what I'm fucking wearing. You know what I mean? So I don't know, like, and everyone is, of course, able to enjoy something and engage in things exactly how they want. But yeah, I
think it's a little like what we experienced at Glossier, which is that, like, particularly at the beginning, I think we were making makeup and skincare for the people who were tangentially interested.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like the girls who wanted to look good and look a certain way, but they didn't want to spend a lot of time on it. That, I mean, it's not even a fringe. It's really a majority. But like the people who are like, not, I don't even refer to beauty as sports, and like sense is like, it's sports, right? Like brand launches for me are it's sports. Like, I'm aware of all of them. I like to think about them. Like, if there were some sort of brand launch or product launch, like Fantasy League, like I would join that.
I share that with you. I like to know everything.
And then there are, you know, people who, like, they're not going to follow this the way that industry people follow it, which is great. But I do think that the people who are not quite in the center of the nucleus are, I don't know, like, I didn't use, even for myself, like, I didn't used to be able to, like, identify Fig as, like, a note. And now it's like I can smell Fig, like, and then I could identify it and I didn't like it. And now I can identify it and I like it. Right? Same with neroli. Like, I remember when I like first learned about neroli, I don't know, I was like 21 and I was like, this smells bitter and I don't like it. At least I was able to identify it. And then I was like, actually, I understand it now and I can smell the difference between like neroli and like sort of an orange blossom and a, I don't know, something else that I'm sure you'd be able to name and I can't pull off the top of my head. But the people that are not as in it are much more conversant in it.
Yeah, there's more language around it for all of us.
There's more language. It's easier to access and it's more fun for the masses than us kind of freaks.
Yeah. Well, and I think many brands, Athena Club being a really great example, are, you know, I mean, 10 years ago, you'd walk into Target and you could get some scented things, but they were Dove and it was, you know, whatever, cherry blossom, which fine. But brands like Athena Club are taking fine fragrance complexities and bringing them to a super affordable price point. Like, I love Athena Club, and it does feel like a fine fragrance in a body wash or whatever.
And it
whatever
wears like a fine
it
fragrance,
too. It really does. It really,
like,
really does.
That shit lasts.
And I think, like,
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, and I think your messaging is clear. Your visuals are clear. It's like you're educating without feeling like I'm learning something, which I hate to do, you know, but it's like I can look at and smell an Athena Club campaign and product and understand exactly what I'm supposed to be taking away from that. And
I can't wait to show you guys what we have for next year. I can't talk about it yet, but I really can't wait.
That's exciting.
I'm curious to know, like, on that tip though, how do you, being a mass brand that does fine fragrance in accessible formats, how do you decide what's next? Do you look at trends? I'm sure you have some things in the bank. You know, how do you make those decisions and plan for the next year just in terms of the fragrance exclusively?
I think about it in sort of right now, I think about it in three. It's definitely like art and science, right? And maybe a little bit. Yeah, it's art and science. We think about what is already working for us and working for our customer and like what are new versions of that, right? So like our number one top seller is Golden Vanilla. We feel really strongly about that scent. And one, there's a strong audience for it and our customer really enjoys it. So like what else is there in that world? Is it diving deeper with the Golden Vanilla heart or, you know, expanding on similar notes? Or, you know, if you think about sort of the Golden Vanilla personality, is that for a specific moment? And like, what's a version of that for other moments or with a slightly different personality, a different edge? Then, so that would be one pillar. Another pillar would be, okay, generally, like, what's trending, right? And what are people interested in talking about and having a good time with? And like, what's our version of that? Can we improve on it? Can we bring it to life at a different price point? Can we put it in a different format? I think that was part of the success of Pink Marshmallow is that like it's got some familiarity. If you're if you're like deep in the scent world, you'll know what it's related to. And like what was interesting was the lotion. I mean, both the lotion and the mist sold through really quickly, but the lotion sold through faster. And I think it's because like that scent, while people may be familiar with it, know it already, love it, which I also think is part of selling scent online, is letting people know what, like, what area code are we in?
Right.
But there's a white spot for that in lotion, right? Like, people have it maybe in a couple of other things, but, like, do they have it in lotion? Do they have it in body wash? Do they want it in a deodorant? Where else can we build? Scent wardrobe is great because, like, it works across scents, but then it like you can go across scents or you can go deeper into your routine, right? Like which way do you want to expand your wardrobe? So that would be the second pillar. And then the third pillar is just sort of like, what are we feeling? Like, what are we into? like the fun stuff.
Just vibes
like,
based.
Okay, just vibes. Like I was out to drinks with our co-founder Masha and we were looking at like this great drinks menu and we were like, this drinks menu actually has got like a lot of really interesting notes. Maybe we should dig into something like this cocktail or something like that cocktail and just sort of following your bliss a little. I think it's a combination of all three in order to, you know, we've got a number of different audiences. We've got the person who's shopping aimlessly, picking things up, smelling them, really enjoying them, never having heard of us. We've got the people who are looking for something specific or like there's this really interesting community of people who are just Target and Walmart body brand savants and they just like know all of the EOS, they know all of the Tree Hut, they know all of the Athena Club. So like what are we doing for them? And then what are we doing for like the explorers, the scent aficionados, and how are we keeping them engaged? So 2027 will hopefully do a little bit of all of that and we'll go wider and we'll go deeper.
Cool.
I'm like dying to say more.
So you've developed products for, I don't think small is even the right word, but a niche brand. And now this is a mass brand. Do you find that there were really big differences in how you would develop products or develop scent for this one dedicated brand versus this brand that's going to be in all these targets?
I think that all brand building is community. Like all good brand building is community. And so if you don't know who you're building for, you're not going to make a great product. And that's what we've been focused on at Athena Club for the entire brand's tenure, but also since I've been there, was just sort of like, who's rocking with us and how can we always create for them? And I would say like that works small, that works big, that works at Target, that works at Sephora. That's good brand building. That's good product. If you don't have a customer, you don't have a community, then it's really hard. It's really hard to get right if you don't know who you're serving.
Yeah.
So that's what I think about. I don't know if that like totally answers your question, but that's...
Well, I wonder if you think there's more freedom in either path. I would feel personally, having no experience in this, that like if I was like, make a product that's going to like kill in a mass market, I'm like, I don't know how to please everybody. Like what? Like that to me seems scarier.
I think the pleasing everybody is a trap. You know, I mean, maybe making a really good vanilla fragrance is maybe as close as you can get to pleasing everybody. Yeah. Like, we knew that was going to be a hit. But I think that being really specific specific allows people to know when to turn to you.
Mm-hmm.
Versus trying to be for everyone always, you don't get anything really concrete.
Mm-hmm.
And then just sort of like, what do I do with this?
Right.
Whereas like when I look at my medicine cabinet, like, do I absolutely identify with every brand in there? Like, no, but I know when I'm turning to Sophie Pavitt versus when I'm turning to, I don't know, like a Guerlain or like something like that. Right. Like I know how I want to feel. I know who I want to be. And listen, I can only speak on behalf of the brands that like I've collaborated with. But I think if you're a new brand looking to sort of like break ground, build community, define your space and earn your shelf, I think you need to think small in order to get big.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's part of what we've done at Athena Club, which is like, you know, we were already sort of like, we had the scale of Target, but when we launched, when we knew we were going to launch Scent, which was such a little, it was a bit of a pivot in certain ways, we went small. Like we started having luncheons at the office with like content creators who we knew or we wanted to work with and we're local and we were just like, come in, like smell things, tell us how they smell, write it down. We went tight because that's where the like, where you get like the honesty and the specificity that I think ultimately resonates broadly.
Right. So like right currently Athena Club has what, like seven or 10 scents?
There's eight mists and eight lotions. In 2025, we launched we relaunched body wash and deodorant, and those were, some of them were, I mean, they were great scents, right? Golden Vanilla was among them. Some of them were new, some of them were old favorites from other points in our brand history. But at the beginning of this year was really when we were like, we're going to take like a fun fragrance approach to this, right? And not think about sort of the general mass playbook. Yeah. And start to define our own path a little bit more clearly.
Yeah.
Which I think is a little bit why I answered your last question that way, was like when we really started like being ourselves and like taking risks, people noticed and people were like, this is a lot of fun and we're having a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why else do it? Like,
right.
You know?
Yeah. And like you said, when y'all are having fun, then the consumer can feel it and that is attractive. Eight core scents is arguably a pretty big collection for anyone in any retailer, let alone Target, you know, or D2C, whatever. But I look at Athena Club, and from what I have smelled, there's a pretty like big diversity of fragrances within the collection. I think, you know, Golden Vanilla is what it is, and we love her. And some are more, I don't want to say sophisticated, but complex and maybe unexpected in the space.
Yeah.
Do you think that there is a through line throughout this collection of fragrances, or maybe rather, you know, is there something that makes an Athena Club scent versus not?
That's a great question. I think the through line is a great question. I think the through line is that there is always complexity. There's always I don't think we will ever launch anything that is sort of one note. Part of our like brand, like design system is like, depending on what product you're getting, sometimes you'll see three hero notes and then sometimes you'll see the full note architecture on the back of the bottle. We are never like, our hero notes do not suggest that like, there are not sort of like a depth and breadth to how we design each fragrance. So even in something like a Sea Splash, which is like obviously like it's a great deodorant, it's a great body wash. It's a more traditional fresh scent that I think you would expect to see from a brand like ours. It's got fresh cut stems. It's got a lot in it to create the best version of itself, or like the most in-depth version of itself. And then I think we sort of think about, okay, like, do we have our gourmands? Do we have our florals? Do we have our solars? Do we have our, you know, anything beyond that?
Yeah.
You know, do we need more woody Do we need more? Like, we have our skin scent. I think I was really nervous to launch it, candidly. I was like, oh my God, like, how are we going to tell all these stories all at once?
Yeah, it's a lot. It could be really overwhelming. Yeah.
It was overwhelming. Yeah. I don't want to like pretend like it wasn't. I think we always knew what was going to rise to the top. And it's been it's almost been like a bit of a Rorschach test to sort of be like, okay, we're doing this new thing and we're going to throw like sort of a lot at you. And like, you let us know like what's really working for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll sunset some things or we'll move things around in our portfolio. Things may come D2C only and Target will get a bunch of newness or, you know, Walmart will get some newness. And I think we'll like kind of keep the same way you rotate your wardrobe, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's going to be that like white, it's so cliche, but like there's going to be that like white button down or that white t-shirt that like either you like always have or you keep rebuying from the same place. Mm-hmm. And then you'll rotate in your fun prints, your accessories, your in with the new, out with the old, and like maybe some things will come back around. Sometimes I'm like, what's our McRib? Right? Like,
that's so funny.
Like, what's our Athena Club McRib?
I love that.
The title of this episode.
Right. Don't do that to her.
Yeah, please don't. I think it goes back to that adage of like having fun, right? Like, why not just keep sort of like throwing things around, seeing what people like, and, you know, surprise launch two things in July, maybe bring them back. Like,
keep
just kind of the internet moves so fast that I think we have to move fast with it. And that I think is sort of one of our X factors, is that like we move really, really fast. And that I think sets us apart from a lot of the other brands at our scale. Is, you know, I'd love to be sort of like on the 3-year development timeline, and in many ways we are, but like, how do we do that and kind of like the quick hits, the fun, the like trend stuff?
Well, I mean, getting two fragrances out from January to now is crazy.
Like,
insane. Yeah.
Are they
unheard of?
Ask our supply chain team.
Fully. Are they in retail too, or just CDC? Sorry, that's too weird. Okay. I was going to say, damn.
They were, no. But, stay tuned.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We're tuned.
Yeah. I had one potentially rude question that you can completely 86 and say no comment on if you'd like, and we will strike it from the record. But I saw a reel from a fragrance content creator that declared that the Love Letter scent is a dupe for Glossier You. And I did not think that. This is actually one of my favorite scents other than Banana Sun Milk.
Your ass likes then, Glossier You, though, to be expected. Likely place for her to be.
I like Glossier You. But I never thought that when I smelled this. And then, of course, because she like incepted it into my brain, I was like, wait, is it? Like, have you heard that feedback at all?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's not rude. Good.
Okay.
Let me think about how I want to answer this.
Okay.
We're going to have to cut this question. We're getting an email after the show.
No.
I don't think like, oh, they intentionally created a dupe for Glossier. I don't imagine that was in the cards at all. I was just like, oh, I wonder if they're aware of that people think of it this way. Because I also
think we're very aware of the narrative.
Yeah.
I am not unhappy with the narrative.
We're
right?
very like, aware of the narrative. As
well, it's always said like benevolently and like affectionately. It's never said in like a derogatory way.
Listen, I think like Glossier You is a really interesting one, because people have such a strong relationship
with that
scent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the versions of it, both, you know, pre-reformulation, post-reformulation. Yeah. The body butter, the solid, the, you know, all of that. I think it depends on how strong your nose is.
Hmm.
and like what you can smell and what maybe you don't smell as well, which is also a really interesting thing. And also who it smelled on, right? Mm-hmm. So that's something that we really learned we need to do. I mean, anyone who I think is good at scent development does this, but I have learned it as a bit of a layman that like, smell it in the bottle, smell it on the strip, great. Like you got to smell it on you and then you got to smell it on like a couple of other people too. I hear people say, we love it. It smells like the original. I hear people say it's inspired by it, but it's not exact. I hear people say, I get it, but I didn't get it until you said anything. Like, I, you know, it's a little bit of a, like, one of those, what are they, like, is the dress blue or gold?
Right, yeah. Right. Well, it's also, it's the like, Yanni. Like, respect to everyone involved. Like, I think people are so, like, dupes are so front and center of everyone's mind.
They're so quick to call a dupe.
That it's like, things can smell similar without being a dupe, without even 100%. Being inspired by other things. Like, sure, is it out of the question that we have benchmarks that we look at? Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
But like, you know, there are only so many, I mean, sure, there are thousands of notes, et cetera, but what are we all pulling from? Especially when we're serving the mass market, the target customer. Not everything is a dupe. Things can smell similar and still be do different things, and that is okay. You know, it's just like, now that we are all speaking the dupe language, that's one of the three things that people talk about in fragrance. I think it's like ruining the conversation of like nuance and complexity. Oi.
I think it's the dupe conversation is super interesting to me. I think my favorite element of the dupe conversation is like the idea that the real prestige, the real status is like saving your money and like finding something good without having to feel like I like spent on a name brand. I think that's like more endemic to the fashion conversation, but like, you know, not being marketed to, not being sold to, right? Like being a smart consumer, right? I think that's sort of like the best part of the dupe conversation. I think that the dupe conversation in fragrance can be really helpful because so much of this conversation is happening online that like the minute you're saying dupe, maybe you mean inspired by, maybe you mean related to, maybe you mean actual copy, but okay, like I know what you're talking about, right? Like I know I have something like that, I know what it smells like, I can engage in the conversation digitally without having that exact thing, which I think has been part of what is democratized fragrance, is like helping people sort of understand. But I do think one thing I've learned is like people's noses are different, right? Like some people have a really like well-adjusted nose. Like I'm probably somewhere in the middle. I think noses can be trained and whatever. And so depending on like how strong your sense of smell is, how like are there notes you can smell and notes like you like maybe don't smell as well, I think, you know, your mileage may vary.
Yeah.
All that matters to me is like, do you like it? And are you enjoying it? Are you enjoying it? Like, are you having a good time? And then I think also like, you know, one of my favorite fragrances that like one thing that I've learned in the development process is like when you're so focused on scent development, what format the product is like becomes really important. And like, how do you need to play around with the scent or the notes in order to get it to smell the same across a mist, a lotion, a wash, a deodorant. So I think there's, you know, some of that, like, you know, scent is complicated. Like, I don't know how they do it. I know that I've been told, but I don't really like going into the Firmini offices. You're just sort of like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
This is a real chemistry.
Yeah.
Chemistry set.
Yeah. I've seen the labs and they're very intimidating looking.
Those people are serious. Those people are like chemist artists.
They've got like the lab coat, the hairnet.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's kind of sexy.
Yeah. To us.
To us. But, you know, as long as you like it and, you know, get it in a lotion, get it in a wash, like get it in the formats that
try
maybe,
it in a different way.
You know, I need the love letter wash. I don't have it.
You know where to get it.
Reminding me.
Yeah.
I do know where to get it. I'm like, I should get that. No, right now I've got so many. I'm not almond creme.
Yeah, you got a queue to go through.
I have a queue to go to. I got my husband, he'll maybe be a little embarrassed by this, but he really enjoys the golden vanilla wash.
Good.
Like, if he's taking an end of the day shower,
yeah,
he's like, where, like, I took it out of the shower and I put it in a different room because, like, our shower shelves were like overflowing with different things, yeah, that I was playing around with. And he was like, where did you put that? Like, that's my that's my end of day shower. And I'm like, so sorry. There you go.
I love
it's husband approved.
Yes. Yes. As even, all the best scents are.
Yeah.
Even boyfriends want to smell like a little cupcake.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. You're talking to one.
I hope every brand defines their hero SKU as their McRib.
That was hysterical. Also, so we funny. Are getting a cease and desist for that last question, and I hope you're happy. No.
I would be remiss as a journalist not to ask the question that I know several people would want to
know. It was a good question and a good answer.
Yes. And genuinely, I did not clock that upon my first sniff of Love Letter. It wasn't in my mind at all. And then it was only when I saw it on, I don't even remember. It was like on my explore page that someone said that. I was like, oh, wait. And then I smelled it again and I was like, oh, yeah, now I see it. But then I'm like, wait, is this just again like the brain inception?
Well, you know? I think, you know, I wish as eager as people are to call dupes, I wish they were as eager to appreciate something for what it is.
I think they do. This is, Love Letter is one of their, I don't know if it's the top seller, but it is one of their best sellers. So
yeah,
there's a market there out is. There. I think I was just like, oh, it's really nice that there is this very like musky, light, transparent type of scent profile in like a mass body care line, because I usually expect mass body care lines to be like, you know, very heady, you know, they're usually not shy. They're not sheer. They're usually pretty heady. So I was like, oh, it's nice that there's this option.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We love it. Go smell some Athena Club. God damn it.
Yeah. They're a Target. They're cheap. Like these little, the mini hair body mists, this is 2 ounces. So you get a lot. And it's like in this cute little cloud-shaped atomizer.
I was going to say, I mean, the body washes are what? Like $17? If that, $15?
Yeah, you get like 30 ounces of them.
Yeah, you get a shit ton. So it's like,
you get a Costco-sized jug of it.
You get your money's worth. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. So I am excited to continue wearing my way through Athena Clubs.
Yeah.
And I can see these becoming a mainstay in my body and shower routine quickly.
I got to pick up some of the deodorants because I also just need more deodorant in general.
Love it.
Love it. Anyway, thank you for listening once again. Please visit our website, smellyoulater.live, where you can find our cozy merch and you can leave us a voice note on our hotline. You can follow us on Instagram. We're at smellyoulater.mp3. I am at Sabletooth Tigra.
I'm at Tynan Buck. And until next time, we will smell you later.